This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury with...
Arvind Ibradj.
And Christine Wong.
With you all the way through until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you've missed any part of this show so far, don't forget you can download the podcast a little bit later on. Before we move on, though, we have a quick update from Bursa at Break with Arvind Ibradj.
Yeah, so it is down by 0.25% at 1,503 points. Active stocks by volume include Thrive Property Group Berhad, MQ Technology Berhad, and NetX Holdings Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.27 against the US dollar. It is at 2.96 against the Aussie dollar and 3.07 against the Sing dollar.
Thank you very much there, Arv. Christine, what do we have over on Instagram?
We have quite a few comments on Instagram. So, for example, Jachi Gui says Instagram and Facebook. CarmenToons94 says Instagram. Gina Wong says YouTube, Instagram and Facebook. Zheng Yang93 has said Facebook. And Wang SW has said Bookface, which I assume is also Facebook.
Yes. It's the one by Zuckerberg Mark.
Oh, yes,
that one.
Do you forget?
Berg Zucker.
Yeah, the Berg Zucker.
What is going on today? We all sound like Ro. Moving over to Twitter, wow. What have we got over there?
So the poll is at 67.2%. So it's gone down a bit for Twitter. A small 2.9% for TikTok, 19.5% for Instagram, and 10.3% for Facebook.
Okay, next story then. Let's get to that. If you want to get in touch, you know how to do it by now. But Christine, pick us up with this whole relearning customers' post-pandemic buying behaviours.
Yeah, because speaking of changes in, like, you know, behaviours, right now customer needs and preferences are also evolving at light speed as customers grapple with the impacts of COVID-19. A recent study by Capgemini found that while 70% of consumers feel optimistic about recovery from the current outbreak over the next 12 months, 65% say that they will be more mindful of their purchase habits once the pandemic is over. 59% of consumers worldwide said they had high levels of interaction with physical stores before the current crisis, which has dropped to a mere 24% now in that high interaction category. In the next 6 to 9 months, 39% of consumers expect a high level of interaction with physical stores. So clearly a lot below the pre-pandemic levels. And with many industries opening, especially now under the RMCO, companies need to quickly identify who their customers have become and how to fit into their new purchasing portfolios. So here are 4 steps that they can take. Number one, new research. Put your segmentation in a drawer and then lock the drawer. It is time for people to ask bigger, broader questions about their lives, not just your products. Even in a remote environment, technology allows us to gather insight and even test new ideas much faster than before. Remember, your customers are already in their homes where you're hoping your products will eventually be taken and used, which is an advantage, not a problem. On that note, the second thing is new offerings. So after all this new research that you've done, maybe accommodate these changing patterns through rapid innovation. You can even create new relevant products and services based on that above-mentioned new research. The third thing is to play offense. Don't innovate for the short-term plan for the quote-unquote messy middle, which will operate between in-person, remote, and low-touch experiences. So think things like curbside pickup. The period will obviously last longer, but it is also an opportunity for your company to gain new muscles. So if your loyalty program is too transactional, what can you do to create magic and, like, true human loyalty with the data? Or how can, you know, a low-touch approach feel like efficiency and a customization versus just like throwing a box of sneakers through a window, you know? Like, is this an opportunity to, like, aggressively develop a product or service to earn additional market share? And finally, and I think this is the most important one, prioritize safety. I don't know about you guys, but I personally will only return to physical stores when I feel safe. And, a lot of customers will only go to physical stores when they think they're gaining something they're unable to get by simply shopping online. In a survey of 5,000 global consumers for their feelings on contactless experiences within stores, 77% said that they would increase the use of touchless technologies to avoid physical interactions, with 70% saying they'd prefer to conduct payment transactions from their mobile devices, and 59% even saying they'd be comfortable using voice technology to avoid contact. So, you know, this kind of research and outreach can go a long way in ensuring you're able to predict and accommodate what your customers really want post-pandemic.
You see, I find some of this really interesting. The prioritizing safety stuff and the whole idea of voice interactions, trying to avoid physical interactions and stuff. And we were talking about it the other day, how some of us feel as though we're living in a kind of parallel universe where some people are not taking it so seriously.
Yeah.
And we're reading about these things and people taking part in a survey, yet I don't feel, when I do go out, I don't feel as though there are so many people taking it as seriously as some of these surveys tend to be pitching, right? So they're saying there's a whole amount of people want to do this. I'm just wondering if the people taking those surveys are people like you, me, and Arvin, who are sat at home taking these surveys and keeping wanting to keep safe, whereas everybody else is just like, it's fine, you know, I'm just going to be outside doing it, it's okay, and that's what worries me.
Yeah, for sure. I think the world has sort of found itself split into people who are still, like all of us in the studio, quite concerned about going out and still trying to be a bit reserved in our interactions. And then there are some people who are hosting parties.
Yeah.
Which, good for you.
But part of me also thinks that we, as in us three in this studio, feeling more careful, or being more careful, because we're exposed to this kind of news on a daily basis and we're discussing it regularly.
Exposed is an understatement.
We're saturated.
It's saturated, yeah. I mean, is that why, perhaps?
Maybe.
It could be. I think also for us as well, because we didn't stop working during the MCO. We were still considered essential services and still had to come to work on split shifts. So I think, I don't know about you guys, but for me, the mere fact that even during the most locked down period, I still was out and about because I had to be. I think that's also shaped my perception of how dangerous it is out there.
So we could keep going out and going back home and stuff. Yeah, but I love the part about, giving priority to safety, because I think I've spoken about this before. There was once when I went to a bakery and it said it only uses cash and they didn't have cashless apps, so they didn't take any other form of payment. And I kind of walked out. And I know that sounds dramatic. It sounds like a bit like, why would you do that? Just pay them cash. But it's not that. It's about that told me that they might not be taking the SOPs too seriously. You know what I mean? Because there must be some form of payment, and it's a big bakery, other than cash, especially when everybody's going touchless or contactless.
Yeah, for me, I've also noticed a few outlets that are still cash only. And to me, a very easy way to remedy that, if you are cash only, is wear gloves. But no one's wearing gloves. That's another thing that I've noticed. I think the only people I've seen wearing gloves are when I went to a mall to do some grocery shopping, a very specific mall. And only in that specific mall, at that specific grocery store, I saw people handing out plastic gloves for you to use. So they don't have to sanitize the trolleys as much. They can just give you the gloves.
All right. I have a message here from Maggie Best. I told you I'd have one finally. And she says it has been WhatsApp because compared to VFB, it's not so noisy. Also, I'm in control that I don't accidentally reveal messages to people whom it's not meant to. So far, I've successfully kept myself away from the office group WhatsApp with its office politics nonsense. Furthermore, after all those upsetting stories about malicious responses to whatever that went viral on other social media platforms, I'd stick to WhatsApp until something better comes along. Thanks for that, Maggie. Anything else over on Twitter we want to highlight, or do we want to take a break first?
We have a couple of messages on Twitter. So this is from DC Marvel, who says Twitter the best. And Alina says, using both Facebook and Twitter feel like on two different worlds.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Right, let's take that break then. We've got Manson up next with She Makes My Nose Bleed. We'll have an update on the polls very shortly. And if we've got some more Instagram messages, we'll get to those in a minute. Don't go anywhere. This is Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.